countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Get Irish Country Living, your magazine for rural Ireland, every week inside the Irish Farmers Journal.
Well, earlier we heard from Luna Orofiama from Machrane na Ferme explaining how it can be so difficult for young farmers to get going because it's difficult to access suitable land. Now, Suzanne Campbell has been looking at the issue of land prices and how they've gone, because certainly the COVID-19 pandemic has seen a big shift in prices there. Suzanne, good morning to us. What have you got for us?
Yes, land prices, they've really risen actually in the last 18 months. You know, they rose 15% last year despite the COVID-19 pandemic. And, you know, land prices have reached an average price in Ireland of 10,300 an acre. And that's up from 8,900 an acre in 2019. And like, this is the highest jump in land prices since the financial crash of 2008. So I suppose the question is, who is buying land? And why is the demand so high? And, you know, we hear about cuckoo funds buying property in Ireland. And funnily enough, more and more land is not being bought by farmers, but actually by business people as an investment. And we'll hear about that in a couple of minutes. So I suppose one of the main reasons I'm hearing that land prices are going up is the demand is bigger than supply, basically. So why is less land coming onto the market? We know that in the pandemic, a lot of people weren't certain if they were going to sell land or houses. You know, I mean, they thought, well, what's the lending and banking scenario going to be following this pandemic? Should I put my land or my farm on the market right now? So that was one reason where reticence might have caused people to hold on to land and it didn't come up for sale. On the other hand, demand was very strong because a lot of people in urban or suburban areas wanted to move to the countryside, and that has happened to a degree, working from home somewhere else if they could. But the biggest losers, of course, are young farmers like Luna there, starting out in their careers, or active farmers who are looking for more land. Kieran McDonald is a young farmer. Farms with his mum and dad outside Dundalkin, County Louth, milking 64 cows. They have 40 acres at home. They rent more, 12 acres, 6 miles away, and they've 27 acres that they bought in 1982. That was the last time they were able to buy land. He graduated from Ag College 4 years ago, but it's just proven impossible for him or his family to get hold of more land so that they'd have a farm that could supply two incomes rather than one.
For a long time now in this area, land is very scarce. The last time there was any land for sale in the nearby area was 2019. It was two blocks. One block went for 18,000 an acre. Another block went for 20,000 per acre, which is very high. Recently, the Irish Farmers Journal put out the average price for the country and for the County Louth. Average land price of 12,000. So for there we're in very high land price scenario.
Why is it so high in that area?
Traditionally, with a lot of dairy farms, so the big demand from dairy farmers. Also, there's a lot of tillage farmers in the area who are able to compete as well for that type of price. And recently, since Brexit, I'm only 6 miles from the border. We have a lot of competition from the north as well.
And for you and young farmers of your age, is it a big topic of discussion? And what would their experiences be that you hear?
Yes, a lot of my friends that I went to college with, a lot of them go home to farm with their parents and they all have to buy or lease land and they just can't get it. So it's very difficult for them to kind of enter into the full-time farming. For them then, it won't be until their 40s, early 40s before they'd be able to take over the farm fully until their parents retire. Mm. So that's kind of slowing down generation renewal.
Thank you.
Reason there is more demand than supply is that we're also between two cap cycles, Damien. You know, we'll hear the announcements on maybe the new shape of cap, you know, quite soon, maybe in August and September. But a lot of farms might have been reluctant to sell land if there are retirement schemes coming into play that they didn't know about before, or didn't have access to before, that's in the new cap. Another element is that land now, of course, as I said earlier, is not being bought by farmers, but a lot of it is being bought by business people as an investment. I talked to Tom Cross of GVM Auctioneers. They're based in Limerick. They're involved in mart sales and livestock, but also land sales. And they sell on average year about 1,500 acres. But this amount that they sell is declining because more and more land is going into lease as well. So I asked Tom why he's seen more land being leased rather than sold.
I suppose the big attraction for most landowners is that they can retain their asset. They can pop their land into a long-term lease. They can avail of the tax benefits associated with long leases, which are very, very attractive. So effectively, they can assume their rental income tax-free. They can also combine that tax-free income and integrate the single foreign payment. So you can obviously see the attraction in it for landowners. They can retain the land and the family. They can avail of the increased rents, by the way, which are very, very evident in recent years as well. So that does inhibit the market. And I would say it's probably reduced the land take going to the market by maybe 30% or so per year.
And if it's tax-free, so basically what you're saying is if a person has a house that they let, they pay tax on that rental income. If you've land and you let it, you don't. Is that right?
Effectively, if you have house property or commercial property, you pay tax depending on your tax rate at 42 cents in the pound plus PRSI. So 50% of your income is diluted immediately on taxation. However, the benefits of land letting is that, yes, you can assume your rental income tax-free. Leases of 5 years or more, you can get a threshold of 18,000 plus on your income. And if the land is jointly owned, that can be doubled, which is very, very attractive. I think what we're also seeing is a return to the market of business people who are now beginning to raise their eyebrows and look at land as being a potentially good investment. They see it as a very, very safe haven for their money, which they're now being charged for in banks. And they're looking at land as being potentially an investment opportunity that they can buy, they can rent it, they can lease it, and they can again get their income tax free. Again, albeit, I suppose the return and the yield wouldn't be as attractive as residential or commercial property, but the asset base is very, very safe.
It makes sense that land is being bought as investments, you know, because the economies of buying land for food production just don't stack up. You know, if you're a new farmer starting out, it's impossible to make money back from food. It could take two generations to pay for the farm. But one third of Irish farmers are over the age of 66, and a lot of those farmers have no successor, no one to take over the farm. And the Macro na Ferma Land Mobility Service started in 2015. It's a way of bringing younger farmers and older farmers together who might be able to farm together or lease the land on some scheme. Austin Finn from the service told me more about how it works.
So the space we fill in is where there's landowners who are looking to step back. They may not have a farming successor within the family. And then we help match them up with young people who are looking for land. And the type of arrangements that they end up being is usually something like a long-term lease, partnerships, or some sort of land share. It was all very new in 2015, and it was supported by extra tax reliefs at the time. And since then, there's been greater awareness and there's far more of this sort of thing going on.
Right. How do you tend to find the relationships? Obviously, there's contracts and it's legally set out, but does the relationship work in the main?
Yeah, it's usually outside the family. So there are people not related. Some would have not known each other before the thing started. So there is a process in trying to make these things work. So typically how it works is when a landowner engages with us, we will look for expressions of interest and we would have young people in our database. And then we will return to the landowner with, say, maybe 10 or 12, these are people who would be interested in talking to you about some sort of thing. And the landowner will sort of select from those, yeah, there's five or six there I'd love to talk to. And it's quite a long process. So that process allows them to get to know each other and to build up a relationship. And because we have that process, then we sort of deal with a lot of the potential pitfalls. And obviously there's a contract, but if you end up having to refer back to the contract a year into it, you're nearly in trouble.
How long would these leases typically be for?
It will depend on every farm and the circumstances, but typically you're looking at 10, 15 year arrangements and longer if there's a need for investment for the person coming in or joint investment, you know, so every arrangement is different and we build it up. But found when landowners identify the right type of person, you can be amazed how flexible they can be to allow the thing to work for both sides.
Interesting stuff there from Austin Finn of Macro na Ferma's Land Mobility Service, ending that report from Suzanne Campbell. Suzanne, thank you very much for that.